stretch your legs and wake up a little bit. It's been sitting there, just falling asleep, letting the warmth. Maybe we should open the doors. Amen. Have a seat. Now that you're up, now get back down. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for an opportunity to gather together on a Sunday, Lord, to worship you. Lord, we gather in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus. And as we talk this morning about just some plans over this next season, I pray they wouldn't be our plans, but they would be yours. I pray that our hearts would be turned to you, and that our minds would be turned to you, our lives would be turned to you, even in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about really the idea of God's kingdom. This is a kingdom of God topic this morning. The kingdom, this is going to sound pretty foolish to the kingdom of the world. If you're just walking around in the world and that's where you function, the ideas that we're going to set out this morning, they actually seem a little bit out of sort. And what we're going to talk about is a time of prayer and fasting. And we're going to talk about prayer and fasting in during about a 40-day season. And I just want to admit and just let you guys kind of think about this a little bit. There are a lot of reactions when you begin to talk about an intentional time of seeking the Lord and of prayer and fasting. And I'll just be honest with you. Our initial reaction, I don't believe, is always the right reaction. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me that somebody says something and you're like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Or you just, it's been one of those days and it's okay. Actually, I don't even think that, you can have your initial thought. I don't even think it's sin all the time. So let's kind of work through this and come back to the attitude that we really want when we talk about something like prayer and fasting. And in that, again, I don't know where everybody is this morning. If you're not even sure if you believe in Jesus this morning, I want to tell you that that's okay. If you're not sure whether you're going to believe and follow the Lord Jesus, that's okay. I want to encourage you, there's no more important decision that you can make. There's nothing more important than that. But if you're not there, we're glad you're here this morning. But I want to admit to you, if you're not sure whether you're going to believe or follow, then spending time talking and trying to communicate with God is going to sound a little bit silly. And certainly giving up something like food or social media or something you really like for someone you're not even sure you believe in, it's going to sound a little bit silly, and so that's okay. And I just want to say that it's okay that if you're kind of questioning, well, is there going to be something in this for me? I think there will be. I think there will be. But if your initial reaction is like, I can't do one more thing, Andy. It's not the season for me. It's okay that that's your initial reaction, but let's circle around to what this really means. The kingdom of God, we're to seek first his kingdom. It should be the most important thing. And the other thing that I think I just want to admit, some of you have backgrounds where when you think about the Lent season, it doesn't bring back good memories. It brings back this top-down religious activity that we're going to make you do something, and that's not our heart at all. And in fact, our heart is that the Lord would stir, that there would be an uprising from within that says, hey, you know what? I get to know the Lord more. If there's a season that we're going to go through where it gives me opportunity to seek him more, to see him more clearly, to hear him more clearly, then sign me up. That sounds really good. And that's kind of the attitude that I want to go in this morning, is this idea that we're setting out a season, and we should be doing this all the time, of course, But we want to it's a good idea to take time throughout the year and go, okay, this is what we're going to focus on together, because just frankly we forget. We go about our days. And so during this time period, we're going to be especially focusing on the Lord. Now, some of you might be like, okay, just tell me what we're going to do. Summarize it for me so that I can know what we're going to do. And so I'll do that. And then if you're the kind of person that's like, okay, but what about this? And what about that? And then we'll spend the rest of the sermon kind of talking about a little bit more of the details. So hopefully I'll cover that. So here's the short. Starting Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, we're going to, as a body, participate along with other churches and the Collegiate Day of Prayer people, which we'll talk about in a little bit, in having an intentional time of seeking the Lord, an intentional time of prayer, and opportunities for fasting during these, and I'm going to say 40 days. But if you've looked at a calendar and you count from Wednesday to Resurrection Sunday, it's actually 46 days. You have to subtract the Sundays. And so this is where we're not going to do it. We're not into checkboxes. We're not into this is the religious what you have to do. We're into our hearts being turned towards the Lord. And just for ease, I'm going to say 40 days. Is that okay? Okay. So that's the short of it. The summary. But the leaders, as we were beginning to talk about this, felt like because it's a pretty short time between now and Wednesday, that it might be good to give some more clarity. So where did this come from and why quickly? Well, the elders, almost every year at the upper room, begin to pray around the new year about, should we have a time of prayer and fasting? What should we seek the Lord for? What's on his heart? How do we follow? And we don't always get, you know, we know the direction. We want to seek the Lord. We want to know his will, but we don't know, you know, the rest stops that we're going to stop at and where we're going to eat dinner and where we're going to fill up gas. And we don't have all of those details. But as we began to pray, some things began to come together. And to summarize those, participating with others was one of the things that began as a confirmation of what we should do. And then also the number 40 began to be a confirmation of what we're going to be doing during this time. And again, I'll explain that in more detail as we go along. When we look at the number 40, it really began to coincide in this time of Lent, or between now and Resurrection Sunday. It began to really be, the word preparation began to really rise up, that we need to be preparing for more of the Lord. And preparation is often associated, actually, with something bad. In fact, there's groups out there that are called preppers. They are for preparation. And what they're in preparation for is, you know, the apocalypse. They're in preparation for, you know, terrible things to happen. But in a kingdom of God, your kingdom come idea, this is a preparation of his goodness and his glory and more of him. Amen? So part of that, when we begin to look at the life of Jesus, and we'll talk about him going to the desert and fasting for 40 days, that was a time of preparation, and that's what this church season represents, is Jesus' time in the desert. And what more awesome result of a ministry than Jesus's, right? But there was the crucifixion in there. But there was also resurrection as a result. And so we do want to prepare, and there may be things that we are preparing for that on the kingdom of this world would sound really bad. But we want to prepare so that we recognize that there's resurrection as a result of that. So the idea of the Lent season, the idea of 40 days, was one of the main confirmations that we should go ahead and announce and start this now. And it was a little bit of a quick turnaround, and so we don't have everything in order, but that's okay, because we want to be seeking during this time. The other thing that began, that came as a confirmation, is because of the history of the Upper Room and its association with Purdue, we still function with a lot of people who are ministering on Purdue's campus. And the leaders of the Collegiate Day of Prayer said, especially this year, they want to include churches and other ministries in this time of praying for not just Purdue, but for revival and for more of the Lord. But if you start to study revival, you're going to begin to recognize it often comes with preparation and repentance. You heard that word again. And it comes with the youth. And that began to stir something in our hearts, because we want more and more of the youth functioning and ministering and walking out what the Lord has for them. And so when I say youth, by the way, that's a sliding scale, which I am now beginning to figure out. When I was in the 20s, when I was in my 20s, 40 sounded old. Now I'm in my 40s, and 20 sounds like the youth. And I have it on good report that when in your 80s, 40 is youth. So this is something that's in our heart. Certainly the organizers of the Collegiate Day of Prayer on Purdue's campus, they're focused at Purdue. But when we began to hear that, we're a little bit more diverse than just Purdue students, Ivy Tech students, those who are college age. Let's go all the way down to, okay, 13 to 30. I don't know what the number of youth is, but if you're not thinking about retirement, let's throw you in there. Or retired, I guess. But one of the things that has been on the heart of the leadership is recognizing the youth in our body, recognizing their value. And so if you're in that age group, if you're in that season, really, of life, we want to especially be praying for what the Lord has, because we believe that God wants to move. Revival, as we'll find out, it starts in our hearts. It moves to our body, the church body, then from there to our communities and even city, state, nation, and world. And that's what we're going to pray for. I want to talk just for a minute about prayer and fasting, though. Because when we say prayer, we often think, okay, I'm going to be telling the Lord what I want. It's going to be me talking, but I want to make sure that we recognize prayer is communication. Prayer is seeking the Lord through communication, and it's listening. It's being still before Him. It's getting His plans for our lives rather than just saying, God, we want this. God, we want that. God, we want this. God, we want that. So when we talk about prayer, we're not talking about seeking His hand. We're talking about seeking His face. And when we talk about fasting, it's the same kind of idea. Often we go, okay, well, I really want revival. And that's a good thing. And so I'm going to fast. And because I'm fasting, because I'm giving up something, God's going to see that I'm serious. And then He'll give me what I want. That's not the idea. The idea of fasting, as with prayer, is that we seek His face. We seek more of Him. And then what begins to happen is we begin to walk closer to Him. We begin to walk step in step to Him, where we can hear His whispering. And then our prayers, and as we draw near, our fasting, we're so close to Him that we're walking more and more in His will. And if that happens, that's what we want. It's not that we get the roadmap and we know exactly where to go and what to ask. It's that we're just walking with Him about His business, doing what He calls us to do. And often that comes through times of preparation, repentance, prayer, and fasting. And so that's what we're going to do. Acts 1, Luke is writing to Theophilus, and he says, in my previous book, the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and preach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Our hope is that in the next 40 days, we're living in a more and more and more, each day, more and more kingdom way. And so as Jesus spent 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God, we want to spend 40 days seeking and hearing and drawing near in a kingdom of God way. As we begin to walk through this kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of this world, whatever happens as a result of that is going to be good. And so I don't stand before you and say, hey, we're going to pray and fast for 40 days. And then Resurrection Sunday is on that Sunday. And then Monday, this is what's going to happen at Purdue. Or this is what's going to happen in our body. Or I don't have any of those kinds of results. And I don't have the roadmap of, hey, this is going to be good and this is going to be hard, but it's going to end in this good. All I know is that if we actually walk in an intentional way, praying and fasting and setting our hearts towards the Lord for 40 days, the end is going to be really good. That's what we really want, is to, because we're going to be walking closer to the Lord. As we continue to talk about these 40 days, I want to go actually to the story of Noah in Genesis 7. It was interesting that Becca had this this thought about Noah. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the water increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth, and the waters rose and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. Now, there's lots of things that we can learn from Noah. There's lots of things that we can learn from the ark. But one of the pieces of imagery in the ark is a picture of salvation. The ark is a picture of Jesus. The world deserving condemnation. The world deserving eternal separation from God. We all deserve that. But God sent an ark. And the image in Genesis 7 is he sent an ark for Noah and his family. The time period that we're living in now, the ark was Jesus being sent for us. It was first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Now there's neither slave nor free, Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. Jesus is our ark. As there are the 40 days of the flood, so we are going to be praying for salvation for these 40 days. It's one of those connection points that we couldn't, that just jumped off of the page. We want to be praying for salvation. And a salvation of one or a million, we're going to call that what it is. We're going to call that revival. And so we don't put numbers on it. We don't know how it's going to happen. But we are going to be asking and seeking the Lord for his work. What's our part as well? So this idea that there's 40 days in Noah's ark, in the salvation that the ark represents for us, is something that we're going to continue to focus on. By the way, it was my hope to have kind of a handout of some scriptures for you this morning. I didn't get to it. I know. What else are you doing? Don't you have... We'll have those kinds of things out, but if you want to know what scriptures we're focusing on, Acts 1 and Genesis 7, you can jot those down as things that you can go back to and focus on as well. And so as we look towards this season of 40 days, praying for salvation and revival, that starts in us. Revival starts in us. It starts in our hearts. It starts in our body. It starts in just our little part of the local church. It starts in the larger body of churches that we associate with. Communicating and functioning in unity with other churches as well. And then to Purdue, to Ivy Tech, to West Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, and out from there. As we talk about revival, I want to go to Psalm 85. Also, because I didn't do my job, write that scripture down too. This is a really good scripture when it talks about revival. The Lord showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. This is obviously to the people of Israel, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. We can now say the Lord has showed favor to us. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all of their sins, and now he forgives our iniquity. You set aside your wrath, turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior. Put away your displeasure towards us. We want to be in a period of repentance. If we're going to prepare for what the Lord wants to do, our hearts have to be right. I love the picture that Nelson has of us. Our only hope is Jesus' blood. It gives us robes. It writes the words forgiven over your heads. Restore us again, God. First in our hearts. Will you be angry with us forever? No, we have Jesus now. Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again? Revive us again, Lord, that your people may rejoice in you. Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. As we begin to set aside specific times, we're going to be having times of personal repentance, and we're going to have times of worship and corporate worship as well. This is a great scripture to worship the Lord. Your love is unfailing. Your salvation is for all. You restore your land. You forgave the iniquity. So as we set out these times, and we'll talk a little bit about what the time is and what those means. And some of those we have some options for you, and some of those we don't know yet. You know, a lot of churches function that the leadership tells everybody what to do. That's not how we function. If the Lord is stirring in your heart to have a prayer meeting, a worship time, then we want to make that happen. We want to be functioning together for His glory. And so if that's first in our hearts and then in our body and then going out to Purdue, Ivy Tech, and West Lafayette as well. This 40-day period is often thought of as a time of preparation. Even as we look at Jesus' ministry and this time period of 40 days often coincides with Jesus going to the desert for the 40 days and praying and fasting while he was there. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. It's a time of preparation for what the Lord is going to do. A preparation for ministry. A preparation for revival. It may not be a walk through the park. We don't know what's going to come, but we know that if we're prepared and that if we're walking with Jesus, it's going to be good. And so this is where we want to be together as a body, seeking his face, seeking his direction. We'll talk more about details, but this may be your first opportunity to really consider fasting. And we as a body, every Monday is a day of prayer and fasting. And I don't go, actually, I don't know, I don't go and say, are you fasting? Are you fasting? Are you fasting? You? It's not that kind of thing, but it's something that has been a part of the Upper Room from the beginning. And we'll talk about some of those reasons, but this may be your first thought about it. Huh, maybe I should consider participating. And I think that you should. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about why don't we just have a prayer meeting on Monday night? Why do you guys say fasting as well? And so I want to look into that as we begin, and then we'll talk about specifics after that. So there's several reasons for fasting that we find in Scripture, but one is it's because Jesus did it. And if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we should do what Jesus did. And here we have in Luke 4, Jesus goes to the wilderness for 40 days. He doesn't eat anything. Now, I'll just, if you go into the desert for 40 days and you eat nothing for 40, we're not going to suggest that. There's a lot of, especially if you've never fasted, there's wisdom in going without food. But remember, we want to be followers of Jesus, but we recognize we're not him. And so we're not saying, okay, we're going to call a 40-day fast. Nobody eats. We're still going to do meals on Sunday and things like that. But we do fast because he did it. We follow after him. Not only does he do it, but he told us to do it. So the second reason we consider fasting is he told us to do it. When you fast. He didn't say if you feel like it, because he knows we're not going to feel like it. He didn't say, you know, these people fast. He said, when you fast. He calls us to do this. By the way, this is a good scripture. He gives some teaching about how this should go. And so let's just dive into that now while we have time. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. So when the idea of fasting is not an outward show. It's not a, you know, you don't hire a band and have a parade, you know, that you're fat, I'm fast, hey everyone. This is an opportunity for you to personally seek the Lord. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, but I don't think we have to be like, you know, super secretive and weird about it. I think if you've decided, hey, you know what, Monday I'm not gonna eat breakfast and lunch. And somebody says, hey, you want to go out to lunch on Monday? I don't think you need to be like, oh, I don't. You know, I think you can say, hey, you know, maybe another day would work better. I'm not eating on Monday. But I don't think that we need to, you know, post on social media, nobody asked me out to lunch on Monday. Don't even think about it, because Monday, I'm fasting. Do you understand the tension that's there? And so I don't think it has to be that weird thing, but it does. It is for the Lord's glory. It's to seek his face more and more. By the way, this says we'll reward you. When I say I'm going to give you a reward, what does your flesh think? Oh, I'm going to win the lottery. Okay, maybe that's just my flesh. Sometimes I give these examples and a few people like chuckle, and I think I really am a terrible person. And everybody that I'm talking to, you've got it all together. The reward that we're going to seek is more of the Lord's face. It's more of his presence. It's that we get to walk closer and closer with him. That's the reward that we're going to seek. The third reason for fasting is it lines up with what being a follower of Jesus is. Jesus in Matthew 16 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." He's speaking to a group of people who are going to literally, in some cases, be crucified because they're a follower. And so he's just telling them, hey, things aren't always going to be great. People aren't going to be really always pleased with you. There are tests and trials as you walk through life. And I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of opportunities to deny myself. We live in a situation, we live in a time, we kind of get what we want. And I'm thankful for that, and I thank the Lord. But the idea that I would give up something that I just normally want, you know, 2-3 times a day, unto the Lord, I think is a good idea. You know, one of the things I think that has been bearing fruit for the upper room is that day of Monday's prayer and fasting. And I don't, again, I don't know who participates, but I know the fruit that's come in my own life from the days that I've done that, and I know the fruit that comes in our body, because it lines up with what a follower means. It doesn't mean, okay, if you skip a couple meals, you are a follower. It's not an if then, but this is the kind of thing that if the Lord's saying, hey, deny yourself and follow after me, then let's take opportunity to do that. Let's take opportunity to respond in some cases with some simple actions to show him that our desire is to know him more. When we talk about fasting, it's important that it's not just doing without. It's doing with something. And so if you're going to take some time off from preparing a meal or eating a meal, then replace that with seeking. Replace that with worship. Replace that with a prayer walk. Replace that with a time of prayer in your office, in your car. Go sit in your car for the lunchtime and just pray through Scripture. Listen to worship music. It's not a matter of, okay, I'm just going to, you know, not going to eat. Because if you just don't eat, you're just going to be hungry. But if you replace that with, Lord, I want to seek you more. Listen to a song, then listen for the Lord. Read a scripture, and then listen to him. Whatever you do, do it for his glory. Don't do it to be seen by other people. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Submit yourselves then to God, James says. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. By the way, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Take some time of repentance. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and then he will lift you up. And if you think that that won't replace your mourning and your wailing and your gloom, I don't know what else will. It's being with him. Draw near to him. A lot of prayer and fasting is often thought of as personal. And I think that's great. But there is something that happens when we come together in corporate prayer. There's value in coming together with other believers for the same purpose. There's great reason to worship by yourself in your prayer closet. But when we come together to worship, something amazing often happens. And I believe that is with fasting as well. And so for us to corporately say, not in a top down, this is what you're going to do. We want you to be led by the Lord. But for us to corporately say, for this time period, this is what we're going to set out to do. I think there's real value in that. There's also scripture. Just one that I'm going to go to is one of my favorite. So if you said, well, when you talked about fasting last year, you talked about this scripture as well. I know, I really like it. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. This is Nehemiah, and revival is about to break out. They finished the wall. Nehemiah miraculously finishes the wall. And then the Israelites begin to gather, and it's obvious that the Lord is doing something in their midst. And they're together, they're fasting and they're praying and they're setting their hearts to the Lord. They stood and their book of the law was read. They were in the Word for a quarter of the day, and they spent the other quarter in confession and in worship. So if you want to know, well, what are we going to do? Right here, this is it. This is all I got for you. I don't need a handout. Nehemiah 9, 1 through, actually we're going to go all the way through, I think, 6. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to do that when you're by yourself and as the Lord leads you throughout your day. And when we come together, we're going to do this too. We're going to confess. We're going to worship. Standing on the stairs, a bunch of these guys are there, and what do they say? Blessed be your glorious name. This is revival breaking out. We get a front row seat. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, and the earth that is, and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything. And the multitudes of heaven worship you. That's our heart. Our heart is that we're going to specifically, intentionally spend time. The details of that, a lot of those we're going to leave up to you. So when we talk about fasting, there's lots of different ways to fast. You can, if you've never fasted before, let me suggest just starting out with one meal. So later this week sometime, take a meal, don't eat it, spend it worshiping the Lord, spend it praying and listening for his voice. And then week two, take two meals, take a breakfast and a lunch. And then week three, maybe go a whole day, sunrise to sunrise. And maybe as you begin to function in this, you can build up and do maybe a 2 or a 3 day fast. These are things that we want you to ask the Lord and obey him. There's a 21 day fast that people often do. It's called a Daniel fast, where you don't eat meats and sweet foods. And you set out that to replace your desires for peanut M&Ms. Oh, is that just me? Twix bars. So every time I think about a peanut M&M, which some days is often, I'm going to think about the Lord, and I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to seek his face. That's an option. You may be in a place where, I'll just be honest with you, last year we did a 21-day fast, and I was on some antibiotics, and I couldn't not eat. It would have not been good for my stomach. There are other things that you can give up in order to seek the Lord. Social media, things that you really enjoy that are extraneous to your life. I won't list all of those. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. Those things are, you can say, you know, and again, this isn't like, this is just between you and the Lord. And I don't know what those pursuits are. But by setting those aside and replacing them with seeking the Lord. Starting Wednesday, there's a prayer time on campus at Campus House at 8 p.m. The Collegiate Day of Prayer is going to gather. They are also coming up, they don't have it yet, but they're coming up with information and materials of meetings that will be happening throughout the community. Emails are going back and forth between different churches and campus organizations of when their times of prayer are going to be, when their times of worship are going to be. We'll be letting you know those. And so as the Lord leads, participate with others in our community. Our regular, just our cycle of life here at the Upper Room, Nelson mentioned, we have Monday night prayer. We have Monday, a day of fasting. Participate in that. On Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning at 6 a.m., we have prayer here. You can participate in that. Youth, we've already talked about this really starting with you. Youth, can I encourage you to go for it? Already, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, a group of youth just kind of organically have been gathering to worship at 7 p.m. here. Come to that. If the Lord's stirring something in your heart, and you're like, could we really meet and do that? Almost always, the answer is going to be yes. We're ready. We have space here. We have a nice new building. Let's use it. If you have times where you go, you know, I just want to gather with a few friends. We've got the new nursery. We've got the back building, two rooms in there. We've got the gray house garage. We have places for you to gather corporately to pray and to seek the Lord's face. There's, in fact, so many resources for a 40-day period that I started to print several of them out. These weren't things that I wrote. These were things I was just going to print out because I already told you I didn't write mine. Mark Batterson's has a book called The Circle Maker. It's a 40-day prayer guide. The Collegiate Day of Prayer has a really good prayer guide as well. Just Google Collegiate Day of Prayer. They have a website, and there's a 40-day prayer guide. I started to look at the Bible apps and the Bible websites. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Pick one. Do Dell's devotional. I know it was written for, you know, to kind of do a couple a week. Start a new devotional. Whatever the Lord has been stirring up in your heart. Maybe I should do that. Yes, do it. That's what I'm telling you. And then as we come together, we'll be sharing as well. Stay tuned to the announcements. There may be more emails than usual as we begin to hear about these meetings. Also, the Upper Room does have a Facebook page. If you have Facebook, you can follow that. That Facebook page has mostly been used for just scripture. By the way, if you want to know why do we have a Facebook page and why do you just put scripture on it, here's why. Scroll through your Facebook the next time, and you're going to see that one thing is missing, scripture. And when I scroll through Facebook, I wish I read just more scripture. I don't want to know your, I do want to know your thoughts. I don't want to be mean, but how about we put more scripture on Facebook? And not like scripture that we're like, you know, praying at someone, but just glory to the Lord type of scripture. But we'll also be checking that. We'll be doing more announcements during this time period for that as well. Well, I took more time than I wanted, and we do want to close in prayer as well. So just as I close, why doesn't the worship team come back up? Lord, we want to set our minds, our hearts, our lives towards you. Lord, we do want to be preparing for your will and your way and what you would have for this next season. Lord, we thank you that we have other believers that are like-minded, that want to seek you, that want to set aside the things of this world, Lord, even the food of this world, to seek you in a new and a greater way. Lord, we do pray that you would be stirring. Lord, that you'd be stirring in the youth. Lord, that you'd be stirring in this body, that you'd be stirring at Purdue, Ivy Tech. Lord, that you'd be stirring the young people in a new way. Lord, that you would pour out your salvation on our community. Lord, we seek you. Lord, we seek your face. How should we be involved in this, Lord? Would you lead us and would you guide us? In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys can stand. We're going to sing one final song. holiness.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
I saw in the spirit a person get hit in the middle of the eyes with a ball. This may have happened some time ago in your life, but you have trauma in that area. And I also saw a person step onto the ice and fall backwards onto your elbows. So if you need healing in those areas, you can come back for prayer.
Yeah, that'll be back in the back prayer room. Lord, we do ask that you would come. Lord, that you would conform, that you would transform, Lord, us in our inner being. Lord, take away the calcification that Don talked about last week. Lord, and then as a body, would you conform and transform our body? Lord, our community, the city. Lord, would you come and do a work? Lord, we want to be walking in all of your ways. Lord, I pray that you would break our hearts. Lord, for those who are walking around us that don't know you. Lord, we pray for revival of our own hearts. Lord, revival of our city, Lord, that people would come to a salvation. Lord, show us how to participate in that. Lord, we know that it would be your work, Lord, but we want to be those who say, here I am, Lord, send us. Lord, we want to walk in all of your ways. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, that we have to eat together. Lord, for the meal. Lord, we thank you for your provision in our lives. Lord, would you go before us and behind us as we go from here now. In Jesus' name, amen.